Hi, everyone, and welcome to First State Insights, a podcast presented by the University of Delaware's Institute for Public Administration. That's IPA for short. My name is Troy Mix. I'm Associate Director at IPA and your host for this episode. I'm back with another installment in the Delaware Founders Stories series, a collection of conversations with underestimated entrepreneurs focused on documenting journeys, recounting successes and failures, and reflecting on lessons learned. For this episode, I spoke with Jenny McMillan on June 2nd, 2022. Jenny is the president of Jenny Gems, a Delaware-based business focused on designing, making, and selling original wooden signs. Jenny and I talked about her early experience selling antiques and collectibles as a part-time hobby, what led her to pursue online sales as a full-time career and officially launch Jenny Gems in 2015 with her husband Dave, and why and how they made the shift from having their designs manufactured overseas to investing in their own manufacturing and woodshop operation. Let's get to the conversation. Jenny, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I want to start by congratulating you. You were named Woman-Owned Business of the Year through the Delaware Small Business Awards this year, 2022. What does that mean for you in terms of looking at your journey and kind of recognizing where you are right now?
I'm very honored to receive the award. It was a surprise and I'm ecstatic. And I'm very happy to win the award for my team because I have this amazing team who works so hard for me. And it's wonderful for them to be recognized for all their efforts.
And could you tell us as we get started, you know, what is Jenny Gems? How do you describe it to people?
We manufacture home decor items, and this includes wooden signs, floating shelves, knickknacks, cornhole boards. We do photographs on wood. We do custom orders, a large variety of home decor manufacturing made right in our facility in Harbison, Delaware.
And when did you first have a sense that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? And kind of what did those initial experiences look like?
Well, I didn't really want to become an entrepreneur necessarily. It just kind of happened. Actually, my husband and I actually decided that we needed to make some extra money to supplement our income. So I started a side business while working at a bank, just basically selling antiques and old history items on the internet, mostly on eBay to start with, just as a side income. And it started to do really well. And the opportunity came to go full time when the bank that I was working for 16 years, they were purchased out. So I was laid off from my job. And I did receive a severance package. And my husband said to me, you know, you're doing really great with your side hustle. Why don't you just try it for a few months since you're receiving a severance, see if you can make a full-time job of it. And so I did. And it just started changing and evolving over the years. Started from antiques to books to toys and then home decor. So we started selling other people's products on the internet and prior to developing our own brand.
What did you bring about yourself? I mean, in terms of like interests, upbringing, et cetera, to kind of the focus on antiques, toys, books, and now kind of home decor. What is it about you that makes this the right business for you?
I always had an interest in history and I always have like a strong, that's how I started into the antiques, but I've always had a strong work ethic. I've always had a lot of drive and I like to motivate people. I'm very passionate about being a good leader and a good role model. And I love providing a great environment to work. That's a fun environment to work. And that's where I am.
So you go from a side gig to, you know, I bet spending a lot of time on this between your full-time job and then filling in the gaps, making this work as a side gig to have this opportunity, kind of forced into it, but a bit of an opportunity to make it work as a full-time position. I mean, what changed in the short run in terms of your time, the resource needs, and kind of new challenges that were thrown at you?
Yeah, I don't think if I were not laid off, I'm not sure if I ever would have become an entrepreneur. And that's the truth. So at the time I was devastated and it actually turned out to be a good thing. And then, you know, the severance ran out. It was fine. I had that little cushion and then the severance ran out and I had to make it work. So I added toys into the mix during the Christmas season because it was increasing our profits and bringing in more money. And then I just continued to change and adapt and started adding in the home decor. We started going to shows and learning about companies. And I started to get requests for the home decor brand that we were selling. Customers were saying, oh, can you do this or can you do that? And we couldn't do those things because it wasn't our brand. And, you know, one of my neighbors at our warehouse was just saying to us, you know, you're never going to make it selling another person's products. You really need to develop your own brand. And he kept telling me that every single day. And I just kept hearing that message. So we did begin to develop our own brand. So we did start off by selling other people's products. And we did start off by importing from China and having our designs created in China. And there were a lot of challenges with that, with importing. There was a lot of tariffs that were involved that were unannounced tariffs that just came across. It's like 25% tariff fee that was added to our imports while they were in the ocean. We had a certain MOQ, a minimum order quantity. So it was difficult for us to test products. We had to order like 500 units of a new product. And if that product failed, we were stuck with that product and just continued to have problems like this where we wanted to take control of our own brand. So we started to think about moving things to the United States. And our children had grown up, so we decided to risk everything and use all of our resources to develop our own brand and to pursue it here in the United States. So we were getting ready to purchase one piece of equipment and the pandemic hit. So we had purchased just the one piece of equipment. It arrived like a week to 2 weeks before the whole world pretty much closed down. And we had risked everything and sacrificed everything just to purchase this piece of equipment. And then we're stuck with this piece of equipment that we can't use. We can't even be trained on. The trainers couldn't even come and train us. So it was kind of, you're going to go out of business and lose everything, or you're going to figure out a way to make this work. And so we went on YouTube and TikTok and figured out how to make it work. We taught ourselves how to use our own piece of equipment. And from there, with our Made in USA theme, it just took off. It just blew up. People wanted to support our business. They loved the Made in USA theme. And we just started hiring during the pandemic and things just kind of went out of control.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're dealing with some pretty heavy issues here from, again, going from a side gig to international trade, tariff issues in a pretty short time period. And then, you know, purchasing equipment and dealing with kind of having everything on the line. What kind of like resources were you seeking out or finding eventually in the community to kind of help you through some of these challenges?
Well, it's so funny because I didn't know there were resources at first. And someone who came into our store, we have a retail store in Harbison, and we had a person who worked in Senator Carper's office stop into our store and just started saying, what are some of your biggest challenges? And, you know, and I was telling her, you know, some of the challenges that we're having. And she's like, well, are you aware of this resource and that resource? And I was like, no, I'm not aware of any resources that Delaware has to offer. And so of course, you know, we connected and she hooked me up with some wonderful resources, specifically like the Small Business Administration and the Sussex County Economic Director and the SBDC. Just there are so many amazing resources that have really helped our business grow.
I want to talk about what I imagine were kind of a couple types of challenges as you grew. And one is, you know, as you talk about kind of building the brand, I imagine a lot of the brand is based around you and kind of your thoughts and your vision. And as you have grown, you've had to bring new people into the company. And I don't know if that was new for you, supervising and managing people, or if that was something you brought from your banking background, but what did that look like as your company grew?
Yes. Okay. So that was definitely, as our company grew, adding people is one of the biggest challenges ever, because I might really like a person in general, but they might not be right for my business, or they could be hurting my business. But because I like them, when I first started being a business owner and hiring people, it was difficult for me to let a person go because I genuinely cared about the person. It's taken me many years to get to the point when I see that a person is not benefiting the company, I do need to let them go. I try to do it in a respectful manner, but it doesn't always turn out that way. And, you know, it's hard. I'm working with so many different personalities. We currently have 27 people here. We have people of all backgrounds and all races and all, you know, we have people with various disabilities and all different kinds of backgrounds. And, you know, we do have, you know, incidents that happen and situations that occur that are quite challenging. And sometimes I actually feel like I'm babysitting or refereeing. Sometimes I'm just like, why can't people just come to work and do their jobs and act like grownups? And that's not always the case. Most of the time, I have an amazing team. I have great people. They come to work and they work very hard for me. But when I first started hiring people, I made a few decisions that I regret. And just having one employee who is not right can be like a cancer to the whole work environment, just one negative employee. So it's really difficult because just because you care for a person and you like them and you think very highly of them doesn't mean they're right for your business. And that is a huge challenge for me personally to be able to let those people go.
And it sounds like you've learned it from kind of real experiences in this business. Were there kind of useful outside perspectives when we think of some of those resource people that are good to go to for counsel on those kinds of things?
Oh, absolutely. I work a lot with Bill Pfaff, Jim Provo, and some people at the SBDC. And I'll just like send them an email say, and the subject line will be, I'm just venting or I need advice because I don't know all these situations that are coming up. Also, I have a resource in the Georgetown Chamber of Commerce. I am constantly like reaching out and just saying, I had an employee do this, or I had a situation like this happen. What do I do? And, you know, they hear these same situations from other business owners. So it's really beneficial to get their feedback on how to talk to my employees, how to understand my employees, how to empower them and show them that they're valued and that I appreciate them.
And the other big challenge area I want to talk about is when you said kind of having everything on the line of your personal resources in making this business a reality. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure for you and your family. And you're doing it, I expect, for the first time versus hopefully the resource people that you might be able to take advantage of are advising people over their career many, many, many times. So can you talk a little bit about what support they provided to help you through that? And kind of what some of the physical changes have been and will be to Jenny Gems?
There have been a lot of challenges. Like we have outgrown our current building. So we have received a loan from the SBA to grow our business. And it's scary because, you know, like you said, I everything is on the line. I do have to make this work. So we're kind of on top of each other in this business. You probably even have heard some background noise here as I don't have my own office. We're just all on top of each other here. So there's a lot of activity going on. But I'm so thankful to have an opportunity to get a business loan from the SBA. It's been very helpful in getting our business to grow. And also with the Sussex County Economic Director has helped with us resources. We're getting our business moved into the Delaware Coastal Park in Georgetown, Delaware. And they were very helpful in getting us into the park. It's just now we're getting a building renovated and then we have to have a new building built. And there's some challenges that are occurring with that. But all of the resources I have are available for me. Each day, we already had issues just today on different things that are going on with the site plan and the survey. And it's just, these are way out of my skill set. So I have to constantly call on all these resources provided for advice and help. And what do I do now?
And could you help us understand the footprint kind of? So you've got an online storefront, a traditional retail storefront, and kind of a manufacturing place. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we're on a busy road. So we opened a retail store Our primary business is on the internet. The Jenny Gems brand is available on Amazon.com. We also, of course, have our own website, JennyGems.com. We also are on Walmart online, which is a great honor. And we're available on Etsy and also eBay. And we have our physical store in Harbison, which is something that we're going to be transitioning. We have a lot of wholesale accounts now. So the Jenny Gems brand is becoming more widely available in stores in Delaware and across the nation. So we've decided to not compete with our partners, and we're going to close our retail store. However, in our new location, we're going to open a very large showroom that will be open to our partners and also open to the public, because we're now doing custom orders. And we can make custom cornhole boards for businesses. We can make custom signs for businesses. A lot of them need gifts. And also, we've created a lot of positivity products to help motivate employees for companies. So we're going to have a showroom that's going to be available for all these businesses and regular customers to come in and see what we have to offer and learn more about our brand.
You're making the transition to developing your own products and manufacturing them. You know, I imagine there's a whole set of new skill sets, new technology to versus sourcing the products to actually making them yourselves. I mean, what kind of investments in terms of time, talent, resources has it taken, and is it continuing to take to kind of make that transition to full-blown manufacturing?
It is so much harder than I imagined it would be. Just to make a sign, it might look like you're just making a sign, or maybe you're just painting a sign, but you have to test all the different paints with the different types of wood and how do they take and how do they print. And the printer, when you're printing a sign, it has to be a certain measurement, and it can't even vary by even a half of, you know, a centimeter. Everything has to be the same. Everything is so precise, and there's so much involved. We did hire a machinist who was also a foreman and has a lot of experience with CNC routing and whatnot. And he has been excellent. The most of the rest of my team who does the production is not college educated. We all learned this together, which is amazing. They went on YouTube. My printer operators, neither one of them has attended college. They are, the one is attending college part-time, but this is like an engineer mindset job that they're both doing just because they have drive and wanted to learn it. My graphic artist, photographer, I posted a job for a graphic artist, and she said, "I saw your job for graphic design and I would like that." And she works here. She had worked here in the wood shop currently. And I said, "Well, do you have any experience with graphic design?" She said, "No, but I can learn." And I said, "Well, okay." And I didn't think she was serious. Well, she went home and took a few courses on YouTube and came back. And she's now my killer kick butt graphic designer who does an amazing job, as you can see on our website. Like, we just have a lot of people here who want to figure things out and want to learn. And the people here are just, they work together and come up with ideas and constantly trying to figure new processes out. It's really an amazing experience. But we didn't know how to do any of this stuff beforehand. And my husband does have a woodworking background. So between him and my machinist, my general manager, they set us up on how to make the products. And then we still had to print them and design them and everything else. So it's been a long, almost 2.5 years now of learning how to manufacture on our own. But we are getting with DMAP. They're going to step in and take a look at what we've figured out on our own. And they're going to teach us how to work smarter and not harder, which is probably, there's probably so many things that we can do better than what we're doing now. So we're going to continue to use all these resources that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like real powerful learning and development opportunities for people. That's part of what you've been able to provide to people, which you may not have envisioned at the outset of this, I imagine.
No, I never envisioned this. You know, when people come into our wood shop and see all the workers, like, and see all the amazing things that they're making, they're just in awe. Like, wow, this is amazing. And we built this from the ground up. With just a small group of people who really wanted to make this work. And it's just, who really just believe in the company and believe in us. And it's really pretty amazing.
Where do you see Jenny Gems in 5 years?
I see it's pretty big. The facility that we're moving into is double the size that we're in now. So we have huge plans. We are expanding way more into other areas of home decor. We're expanding into printing on canvas and tumblers and koozies and just everything. Like, it's just, I have a team who's so excited to learn and grow. And I think probably within the next few years, we'll have tripled our growth. Actually, our sales this year are up over 50% this year. So this year is going to be pretty big too. And we're just going to keep on going. We have a very motivated group of people.
And for folks out there who might, you know, have a side gig now that they're exploring and thinking about making it a full-time endeavor, what advice would you share?
The biggest thing is you have to be willing to change and adapt at a minute's notice in the environment that we're in. This is a period of time that I never expected in my life. And, you know, when we can't get supplies, we have to find replacements. So it's very important to stay positive and be a problem solver. That's so important because things are never going to stay the same. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to let the wrong employees go, and you have to keep a positive attitude. And you have to understand that a 40-hour work week is just not going to happen when you're self-employed, when you're building and scaling, maybe later down the line. But when you're building and scaling, you're going to have to go all in. That's just the way it is. And if you don't go all in, there's plenty of other people out there who will. Your competition will.
Well, I appreciate you taking time today to share a bit about your journey. I really enjoyed learning about it. I enjoy seeing all the change and growth that's in the future for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having us on your show.
To learn more about Jenny Gems, visit jennygems.com. That's JennyGems.com. For more information on the Institute for Public Administration, visit ipa.udel.edu. Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to First State Insights and tune in again soon. Take care.